Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're here till 5 a.m. It's Fly Jams Friday. DJ Sugar will play the cuts, so get your requests ready to go. 312-981-7200. All the other Friday features that we have, the You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, all of that is coming up. We're also going to converse about Marcus Leshock, as I mentioned, put this up on his social media question. What is the first big news story that you remember? And for Marcus, it was the Challenger explosion. And so we can talk about that and maybe, you know, even take off on where were you when certain big news stories happened. So that'll be coming up as well. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text. You can check us out on Twitter at Nick D Show. Best way to stay connected is on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Nick D Show. Every month we talk with our good friend Herb Weisbaum. He's an Emmy Award-winning reporter who covers the consumer beat for NBCNews.com. And you can read all of his stories. You can subscribe to his newsletter at consumerman.com. He joins us once a month to talk all things and help you out with consumer issues. And we welcome Herb back to the show. Hello, Herb.
Hi, Nick. How you doing?
All right, sir. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Good.
Thank you for calling me, sir.
Yes, of course. I have to pay respect. Tell everybody about yourself. You're out there in Seattle.
We're out here in Seattle where we do some crazy things in the summertime. You know, you do things like make the river green for St. Patrick's Day. Well, we have this thing called the Seafair Festival where we celebrate the fact that if we're lucky, the sun comes out in July and August. And one of the events they have, and they had last weekend, was what's called the Milk Carton Derby. People build watercraft out of empty milk cartons. I'm still trying to figure out, by the way, if it floats better if you use empty whole milk cartons versus empty skim milk cartons, but no one could answer that question for me.
Wow.
And then you try to get them across Green Lake, which is in downtown Seattle, without them sinking, and then there are prizes associated with that. And as part of the ceremonies, the Seafair Queen actually knighted me. So you may refer to me as Sir Herb.
Oh, Sir Herb. Okay.
Well, Sir Weisbaum for most people, we're friends, so Sir Herb.
Okay.
And I was knighted as the Supreme Protector of Consumer and the Supreme Protector of Consumers and the Marquee of Midday, because I anchor the Midday Radio out here.
Wow, that's amazing.
A little pennant and everything, that little thing, the medallion I have around my neck. It's very cool.
Wow. All right. Well, the Milk Carton Derby, how is that done exactly?
Well, the people build these different craft, and they hold them. You know, they take a whole bunch of plastic milk cartons and plastic, and, you know, the jugs and the whatever. They make for pontoons and make it float. And they built. So one person put a tank, made a tank, and one person made a hydroplane, and one group made a log that broke in half and it sank. I put on my Facebook page /consumerman. I put some of the pictures up there, but it's just really kind of funny. It's just one of the ways that we get silly out here and celebrate. We have also pirates in the summertime out here. We have the Seafair Pirates. I was a pirate one year.
Wow.
They always they scare the kids and have a good time. And if you're really a trained pirate, you know how to say "arg"
right,
with the right inflection.
That's right. How many years have they been doing the Seafair Festival? Has it been around for a really, really long time?
Yeah, really, really long time. It was when the founding fathers realized they had to do something to keep things going on in the summertime. So they've been doing it for a real long time.
Well, great. Well, congratulations, Sir Herb.
Thank you.
And
Thank you, sir.
You also have a proclamation to prove it, correct?
I do, up on the wall. It's absolutely unbelievable. And I have all rights, responsibilities, honor, and inheritances belonging to me for the full term of my reign.
That's amazing. And I hope that – how long is your reign? A year?
Until they take it away from me.
Do they crown someone every year?
Yeah, they do somebody every year. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations, Herb.
Thank you.
That sounds like fun. All right. You've got consumerman.com. Tell everybody about that website.
Yeah, just a website where I post all my NBC News articles and has a lot of information and resources for you. And I just spend my life just trying to make people smarter, because you can protect yourself against the scams and get better deals if you just know what's going on. So
yeah.
Power is information. That's what I try to do.
All right. Well, let's get to some of the stuff that we were going to talk about here.
Sure.
You wrote a piece about free Wi-Fi, and it's not necessarily safe Wi-Fi. Tell us about that.
Well, there is a reason why it's called public Wi-Fi. Just think about that for a second, right? public.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are doing things in public that you wouldn't want other people to know about. They're sacrificing security for access because they want to get online wherever they go, wherever they go. And this was a new report that just came out by Norton. Those are the folks that do the security software. It's a 2017 Norton Wi-Fi risk report. They do it every year. And they found that 92% of the Americans they surveyed have potentially put their personal information at risk while using public Wi-Fi.
Wow.
A number of things. 62% opened a personal email account. 56% opened a social media account. This is the one that scares me. 32% checked their bank account or accessed other financial information, and 29% logged into work email. Now, there are ways to safely do this, which we'll get into in a second, but 19%, this is another scary one, said they had entered personally identifiable information such as their social security number or birthday while logged in at a public hotspot. Just very dangerous information for most people who don't take the right steps to protect themselves, because anybody could be listening, sniffing out on that connection as to what's going on and steal your personal information or take over your account. It's a very, very dangerous thing to do.
Yeah.
And nearly 70% of the people, Nick, said that they feel, and this is the other scary finding, nearly 70% said they feel their personal information is safe when using a Wi-Fi hotspot, and yet 40% said they couldn't tell whether it was secure or not. So sort of kind of a mixed finding there, but they're doing it anyway, even though they know there's a potential that it's dangerous. They're doing these really, really dangerous things that could come back and bite them.
Now, it's hard to navigate this Wi-Fi world here, Herb. And you're saying that even if, in a couple of weeks I'm going to be spending the weekend at a hotel. I'll be a host at this horror film convention. And they have the Wi-Fi there in the hotel. And I always choose to not sign in and use it. I just use, the stuff on my phone instead.
Right.
Instead of signing in on the Wi-Fi, because I just don't feel because of this, I just don't feel safe. But you have to let people know that even if you're in a hotel and they give you the Wi-Fi password, it's not necessarily completely safe, right?
Oh, right. I mean, people say, oh, they gave me a password. That means this must be a safe way to access the Internet. All the password is a control mechanism. It's a way to keep everybody and their brother from logging on and tying up their bandwidth. It doesn't mean that connection is secure. It just means you're able to get on it and not everybody and their brother is able to get on it. And there are a number of ways that you can do things more safely. So let me run down some.
Please, yeah, please.
So first of all, if you're doing a communication with your cell phone, and as you just said, and if you're using the cell phone network, almost everything that goes out of the cell phones these days is encrypted. So that's a pretty safe way to do things when you're on a cell phone, with
right.
one exception. And that is, and I learned this putting the story together, and this is going to surprise a lot of people, the exception is if you're using apps, either on your cell phone or your laptop, because Norton took a look at this, and they found that 38% of the apps that they checked did not encrypt the data. There was nothing to protect the data that was going back and forth. So if your cell phone were connected to the Wi-Fi network as opposed to being connected to the cell network, you follow me? So you're at the hotel,
yep.
Your phone connects to the Wi-Fi network because you don't want to use up all your data from your cell phone package.
Right.
And you use those apps, and that app happened to be an app that wasn't encrypted, that app would be sending all that information you were doing, if you were doing shopping or whatever, getting onto your social media site, getting onto your bank account, God forbid, without being encrypted, and anybody who's sniffing out on that connection could find out what's going on. I think a lot of people are going to be very, very surprised to find that out, because we are moving into an app world, and you automatically assume the apps are safe. So if you're at a coffee shop or something like that, or a hotel, and you're using your laptop or whatever, if you see that the connection has on using your browser has an HTTPS, that's a fairly good indication that you're fairly safe, because that's a secure connection. It's encrypted between you and them.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to be really, really safe all the security experts I spoke to said they would never use a public Wi-Fi hotspot unless they had what's called a VPN. A virtual private network. Now, that is something, it's a little piece of software that you put on your system, and then you connect through that, and what that basically does is it puts your information in a secure tunnel, and everything that's done in that tunnel, which is encrypted, cannot be seen by any of the hackers that are out there in the middle of that Wi-Fi.
Mm, okay.
You can get free ones. I do not recommend free ones, and the folks who know these kind of things, like a PC World magazine, et cetera, say you don't want free software for something as important as this.
Right.
But you can get the service for as little as $5 a month, and that's nothing to based on the heart that can take place if somebody gets your Social Security number or whatever.
Yeah. Now, Herb, hold on, Herb, okay. Because we got to take a break. We come back, and we want to get more tips on how to be safe in the Wi-Fi world. Okay, hold on.
Okay.
Herb Weisbaum is with us, and he's the Emmy Award-winning reporter, covers the consumer beat for NBCNews.com. You can check him out at consumerman.com and subscribe to his newsletter. We'll tell you all about that and more and how to stay safe in the world of Wi-Fi as well right after the news right here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. How are you? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower overlooking beautiful Michigan Avenue. It's Friday morning. That means all of our regular features. Fly Jams Friday is coming up. Yeah. Straight out of context, Nick D. Show Spies, and of course, You Big Dummy. We are also going to reminisce and talk about the first news story, the first big news story that you remember. And then we'll, you know, also talk about where were you when certain things happened. I want to thank Marcus LeShock for posting that on his social media and as a question. And I thought we could have fun talking about that. So we're here till 5. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5. The great Steve Cochran at 6. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Herb Weisbaum is joining us for his monthly visit. He's the Emmy Award-winning reporter who covers Consumer Beat for NBCNews.com. You can check out his website at consumerman.com. Before we took a break for the news, we were talking about free Wi-Fi doesn't mean safe Wi-Fi, and even if you have a password, and Herb was giving you some advice on how to stay safe while using some of these Wi-Fi areas. Herb, welcome back.
Yes, we were talking about virtual private networks.
Yes.
The safe way to use public Wi-Fi. It's a little piece of software that you download on your device. And we were saying that probably you want to pay for this service, not get free VPN, which is available. My advice is going to be to go to any reputable online site, that PC Magazine, PC World, something like that, one of the sites, Wired Magazine, that rates the software, and just get a one that's rated as being reputable and safe. And it'll cost you probably $5 a month or something like that. And it's a very smart investment, especially for somebody who travels around and always has to use public Wi-Fi in order to do their business. You don't want to do it out in the open where anybody could see it. The other thing, by the way, you were talking, you're going to a hotel for the horror convention.
Yes.
Where a lot of people get burned is they say, okay, I'm going to log in. It says Hilton Hotel. Well, there could be bad guys out there piping a signal into the hotel that says Hilton Hotel 1 or Hilton without hotel on it. And you pick the wrong website and you're the wrong name, and you're actually on their Wi-Fi. So everything that you're doing, if you're out in the clear, is being seen by their Wi-Fi as opposed to the hotel's Wi-Fi. So it's a dangerous thing that you got to be really careful. We're tired, you travel, I see the name of the hotel. Well, maybe there's a couple. Well, looks like the right one. And you get on, and that's why if you use this VPN, you're really doing yourself a favor.
That's good. And also, Herb, as we've mentioned before, these guys, the bad guys, just keep getting better and better at being bad, meaning that like they could recreate a perfect logo and make it look completely official, like it really is that hotel when in fact it's not.
Oh, yeah, you could get the Hilton misspelled or the double H or whatever, and I'm not picking on Hilton, obviously, and you could launch that, and it would take you to a website that looked like the Hilton because they could steal their website, and then you'd think you were doing something safe, and then again, you're not. So that's the only way to do it. By the way, as part of this survey, I just found this fascinating because you like to observe what people do. They ask people how much of a part of our lives is Wi-Fi is and staying connected, and just listen to these numbers. More than half, 57%, said they can't wait more than a few minutes before logging onto Wi-Fi or asking for the password when they arrive at a cafe or hotel or their friend's place. 75% said access to a strong Wi-Fi network is the deciding factor when they choose a hotel. And 49% said that's how they decide which restaurant, bar, or cafe to go to.
Wow.
That's a lousy coffee, but it's got great Wi-Fi.
Wow.
35% have access to Wi-Fi network without the owner's permission, and 12% actually guessed or hacked the password to get in.
Wow.
And then finally, 10% said they'd be willing to share personal details or allow access to their contact list in order to get a strong free Wi-Fi signal when they're away from home. That's just nuts.
That is.
That's just absolutely crazy. But that gives you an idea of how folks just feel this need to constantly be connected.
Yeah. Wow. Those numbers are kind of – those are pretty stunning,
it's
actually.
Scary stuff. Yeah,
it really is. And actually, the numbers that you were talking about when we were talking about the Wi-Fi, that you know, the people are checking their bank, 32% of people are checking their bank accounts. That just seems crazy to me.
It is. I mean, if you had the VPN set up, that virtual private network, you know, and you need to get on your bank account, that's fine. But it's, if you do it the way most people do it out in the clear, that does run some risks. And remember, as every security expert told me, a public Wi-Fi hotspot is always going to be quote-unquote dirtier, meaning greater risk of having a security lapse than something you use at your own home or office or somewhere where you know it's under your control.
Right.
And as you said, the bad guys keep getting better and better and finding out more and more ways to do crazy things with our data.
All right. And this this piece, though, that you wrote about the being safe and free Wi-Fi, it's up on consumerman.com.
Yes, it is, right there on the home.
And people can check it right now. Check it out. All right, Herb, let's talk a little bit about Deal Dash Penny Auction being sued for perverse lotteries. This is another article that you wrote for ConsumerMan.com. Tell everybody about Deal Dash.
Yeah, have you seen the ads? I mean, they're almost everywhere.
Yeah.
It's one of the largest and best-known penny auction websites, and basically, you know, what you do is you buy some bids, and then the auction goes up for there's merchandise online, there's a whole bunch of bids going on at once, and every time somebody bids, it goes up by a penny, which tends to extend the auction, and then finally, when it runs out, someone gets the merchandise. So there's a number of problems that have been expressed about Deal Dash, basically from a group called Tina.org, truthinadvertising.org, and also there's been a lawsuit filed in April by a California man. They're basically alleging two things. They're alleging that this isn't really an auction website, that it's more or less like a gambling website, something Deal Dash denies. And they're also talking about the fact that the advertising is misleading and deceptive because it doesn't tell everybody everything they need to know. For example, if you looked at the story I did, there's an ad on there from Deal Dash which actually shows some great deals, an iPad for $539, an Apple MacBook for $10, and a big Canon camera for $20. Then in the small print it says does not include the cost of bids. That's because that's the price the person bought it at after bidding for the item when they won the bid. You could have spent a couple of $100 on bids to win the Apple iPad for $5.39.
Mm-hmm.
And they never disclose that information that people have. You have to pay every time you play this auction website.
That's really misleading. My God.
Yeah. So, you know, for instance, you know, you can pay hundreds of dollars for something that is advertised as, oh, somebody got this for $5.95. Well, they didn't really get it for $5.95. Mm. And the other thing is they question the value of some of the merchandise. They say some of this stuff is being made by the owner, and it's basically highly valued, like, you know, a handbag valued at $2,900, and the lawsuit says it's worth approximately $800 or something like that or less, and the people are paying all this money for this stuff that's not really worth what the Deal Dash claims it was worth. So there's two kinds of things here. One is the lawsuit that has been filed against the company, and the other one is the Truth in Advertising group that has asked the Federal Trade Commission to look into this website and shut it down because they say this is an illegal gambling site. Again, the website says it's doing nothing wrong, that it's not gambling, that everybody knows how to play the deal, that they have gazillions of satisfied customers, but it's something that it's not what it seems to be. I'll just tell you that from when you see the ads, and if you're going to do something like that, you need to think long and hard before you decide to get involved with this or any of the other penny auction websites, because it seems, a penny. It's not really a penny. That's not how it works out.
Tina.org, do you know much about this organization?
Yeah, they do a lot of work. They're a consumer organization, and they look at all kinds. They've done a whole bunch of news releases and filed a whole bunch of complaints over the years about advertising that they think is misleading and deceptive. They're sort of like an independent consumer watchdog that is out there just looking at the advertising world and trying to spot things and warn people about them.
Yeah, and people can check out Tina.org, T-I-N-A, Tina.org, Truth in Advertising, for more information. And what's the latest with the lawsuit? Do we know?
Well, no, the lawsuit was filed in April. They're hoping to make it a class action lawsuit so that eventually it could involve anybody who took part in this website. But it's just started, so it's going to run through the court process. So it's going to take a long, long time for that to take place.
Okay. And, it's interesting, how they can get away with this, but technically they can it's there, but it's in fine print. It's just misleading, correct?
Well, anybody can do anything until somebody takes a prosecutorial agency does something against you if they believe you've done something wrong. I should point out, by the way, this group, the Deal Dash, has proudly proclaimed that it's got an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. After Tina.org filed this report, the Better Business Bureau now has an NR for not rated because the information on the company is being updated voted on this. So it's not an A-plus company with the Better Business Bureau anymore. And that's the great thing about, you know, the investigators, the prosecutors can only do so much. These guys do work. I mean, they find the ads, they do history, they look at stuff, they talk to customers. You know, they sort of like present a document to the prosecutors and say, we believe something is wrong going on here. Take a look at that. Do something about it, which is a great way to get the prosecutors to do something because there's so much going on, they can't do it all. So TINA.org is a really good organization that does a lot of really good work in this area.
Okay, great. And that's Deal-Penny Auction. And you can read that article as well at consumerman.com. And there you go. All right. Hey, by the way, before we get back to some more consumer news, the celebrity poker tournament that you hosted, we were talking about that before it happened. How did it go? What was it like?
It was really wonderful. It was an amazing collection of sports celebrities. Where this was to raise money for the food banks here in the Food Lifeline here in the Pacific Northwest area.
Yeah.
And old Sonics players were there. We used to have a basketball team at one point here called the Sonics.
I don't know.
They took off for Oklahoma. We got a stadium there now, an arena, but no team. We're working on that. There are actually two proposals to build replace their one arena and to build a new one, or fix up the one and replace and build a new one. And if we get that done, maybe we'll get a team again, because everybody would sure like that. But amazing, you know, the Seahawks were there. The people from the Sounders were there. The Seattle Reign was there. People played a lot of poker. They spent a lot of money. One item was the chefs were going to cook them a big dinner, and somebody paid like $8,000 for the 6-course meal.
Wow.
So it was really kind of nice, because all that money just goes to feed people who need to be fed, and there's a lot of hungry people even in a city in Seattle where there's so many people doing so well. It's just everybody isn't. It's just like in Chicago. Some are doing well and some really aren't.
Yeah, well, it's great to help out.
Thank you.
I'm glad it was a success. All right, Herb, hang on, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Herb Weisbaum is with us, Emmy Award-winning reporter, covers the consumer beat for NBCNews.com, and you can check out consumerman.com. We've got a couple more consumer stories to talk with you, to talk with Herb about, and we're going to do that right after we take this break on WGN. Right. Hi. Welcome back, everybody. How are you? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, Friday morning. Herb Weisbaum is with us. He is an Emmy Award-winning reporter who covers Consumer Beat for NBCNews.com, and his website is consumerman.com. You can follow him on Facebook at ConsumerMan and on Twitter at TheConsumerMan. And he joins us monthly, and we welcome Herb back. Welcome back, Herb.
Thank you, sir.
So after we say goodnight to you, Herb, we are going to open up the topic of what was the first big news story that you remember? So I would love to get that from you, Herb. I mean, obviously this dates us. You know,
probably the first big story was going into space. One of the first NASA launch.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a space nut from the littlest age, and I followed every single launch. And I remember getting up at 1 o'clock in the morning when I lived back in Philadelphia to watch the man landing on the moon. And so probably the first launch in space, Alan Shepard, was probably the first big national news story that I recall.
Yeah, I think that's a common one for people who are in that age group, I would imagine.
And I actually have a record. They actually pressed a little vinyl record, which is a sheet of vinyl. It wasn't a real record. It was a square thing. And it actually had the capsule communication between NASA and headquarters, Capcom, and the capsule. And I actually have that in my collection of space memorabilia.
That is really cool. All right, great. Okay. Well, thanks for that contribution.
All right.
One more story that you wrote we want to get to. Government and bank websites flunk new security and privacy tests. I think this might be the scariest story that we've talked about.
Well, there's a group called the Online Trust Alliance, and they're based here in Bellevue, where I live, Bellevue, Washington. And they were started with a whole bunch of big, you know, online companies who wanted to start this thing, and they try to push the industry forward into doing more safe and secure things. So they did their online trust audit and honor roll, where they looked at more than 1,000 websites, and they checked their site security, their email security, and their privacy practices, done anonymously, so these sites did not know that they were doing at it. And they found that more than 52% of the audited sites qualified for the honor roll, which is really good if you consider the fact that in 2014 only 30% made the honor roll, so that's a big improvement.
Oh, yeah.
You have almost half of them that aren't really doing a good job of privacy and security, so that, you know, makes you a little bit nervous. And they broke it down by industry, and the ones that, as I said, didn't do all that well were the government and the banks. So for the federal government, our government, 60% of the 100 U.S. government sites, so 60 out of 100, received failing grades. Only 39% made the honor roll, which is down from 46% last year, so they're moving in the wrong direction. And some of the honors went to the Census Bureau and the Department of Education and healthcare.gov. But again, you have you know, a lot of sites that didn't make it, and they normally don't publish the ones that don't. But they said for me, for the government ones, we're willing to give those to you, the ones that didn't receive a passing score. So here are the ones in your government that did not get a passing score. And they include, and some of these are unbelievable to me, the Commerce Department, the U.S. Congress, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, that one surprised me, the CIA.
That's crazy.
The Defense Department, the Federal Reserve, the money people, the Office of Management and Budget, HUD, ICE, the IRS, Medicare, Security and Exchange Commission, Treasury Department, TSA, the U.S. Patent Office, and Veterans Affairs. So these are all the ones that did not get a passing grade for the federal government. Find that absolutely just bizarre that that would be that situation. And the banking sector, that was the biggest drop. The banking sector, only 27% of the country's 100 largest banks made the honor roll. That's down from 55% last year. So they went from 55% to 27%. And this is an area where they say they're concerned about security. They very well should be concerned about security. But they got very, very low scores and failing grades for this. They say that this doesn't represent them, and that they say they're working very hard at this. They'll take a look at the results. But I find this very disconcerting that they would get such a poor grade from this independent group that was monitoring them.
Yeah, wow.
Bottom line advice, as I always say, and we've said this before, is a lot of sites want a lot of information from you. Give as little information as you possibly can. Give what you have to do to get the job done.
Right.
But don't volunteer any more information than you have to give, because honest to God, you don't know how securely it is being kept by anybody, government, industry, anybody anymore.
Right.
And it can come back to bite you, so just be careful.
All right. Tell everybody how they can subscribe to your newsletter. It's free. It's at consumerman.com. Give everybody the download on
yep.
that.
Just go to consumerman.com, look for the form right there, just give me your name and your email, and I'll get the weekly letter that just tells you what I'm doing, and that I don't sell it, I don't share it, and I don't give it to anyone. And every time I do this with you, I always hear from people who either do that or write me an email and say, I love Nick DiGiulio, thank you so much for being on the air. You're a big star there, they love you.
Oh, well.
And well, they should.
Well,
and that came from me, Sir Herb.
Thank you, Sir Herb, and we will talk to you next month. Always a pleasure, my friend. Have a good month.
All right, enjoy the rest of the summer, Nick.
All right, take care, buddy. All right, we're going to take a break. We got the news coming up next on 720 WGN.